My first guest of the day is on the line. She is Ziva Tates, and she's the head of the Aliyah Department at the Israel Center in South Africa. Ziva, thanks for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting.
Talk to me about the Aliyah Expo. What are you doing and what are you hoping to achieve?
Well, we're having an amazing event coming this weekend. We are inviting those who did not yet register to do that because registration is going to end on Thursday, the 11th in the afternoon. We are having amazing delegates arriving from Israel, as well as some locals that we have here as well, to share information regarding Aliyah, all aspects of Aliyah. And we have, I'm so excited about it, amazing group of people coming just for youngsters to give information to young people. We'll have three halls. One of them will be for youngsters. So I invite the youngsters. When I say youngsters, I'm saying from age 17 that are still in grade 11 at school, at high school, up to age 30, that still would be, even 35 would be still considered as young adults. Please come. There is a lot of information to gain at that expo. Don't miss up.
Ziva, let's be honest, the last 2 years have probably been some of the most difficult in Israel's history. Is a call for Aliyah or an interest in Aliyah not a very difficult sell right now? What are the numbers saying? What are you seeing?
You will be surprised. We had that conversation before on Chai FM. With all the hardship that Israel is going through, we have even more interest in Aliyah. I mean, from 2 years ago, when things were on the 7th October, where everything was like we were all holding our breath. So some people that were on the Aliyah process stopped for a minute, but all of them made Aliyah. Nobody stayed behind and nobody stopped their interest in Aliyah because of that.
Ziva,
numbers are just as strong as before.
Do you monitor the success or lack thereof in respect of the Olim that you send to Israel? Do you do follow-ups? Do you see, are they still there in a year or two's time?
Okay, so we don't have as such follow-up that I can give you details and numbers, but it's a small community and people, even if they did come back, and I had, for instance, people that made Aliyah during Corona time, for instance, and they came and tell, we came back because we had a parent that was sick or, different reasoning. And now, in the last year or 2 years, they've been also wanting to go back. So that romance that we have with the State of Israel is an ongoing one. And even if people are coming back, it's not for definite. That movement towards Israel is definitely more going there than coming back. That's like...
Ziva, what do you think is the biggest... What is the biggest barrier to Aliyah in the minds of the people that you are meeting with? Is it education? Is it recognition of degrees? Is it job opportunities? Is it community? You name it. Tell me, what are you hearing from potential?
So you're asking where the hardship would be for people making Aliyah?
Exactly.
I would think the major hardship would be the money, the ability to raise money, to work, if from that point of view. But what I would say to people that I often say, that's a side of culture and differences from language, obviously, that is a difficulty. It is a difficulty, but I think the major one is work. And I'm saying to people, even people that going with a promise to work, it doesn't mean that they will be staying with that work within the next few months after the Aliyah. It gives them a sense of security, that they have something, but it doesn't mean that that work will be the one that will take them through over the years. So the same with people that going and for a few months struggle with finding work, I'm saying persevere. The first year is normally the hardest, and there is a good chance to make it work afterwards. That's basically.
I want to talk to you about housing, because here on The Home Run, we've spoken to an Israeli real estate agent last week, I think it was, might have been the week before, talking about the incredible cost of property in Israel. Is that a stumbling block in terms, or do people just have to realize, well, maybe Ra'anana can't be the first choice, and maybe I need to look at Be'er Sheva? Are you having those discussions with people?
Absolutely, absolutely. What once, I mean, everybody was going to Ra'anana because we have a big community of Anglos and South Africans there, and you want to go and feel comfortable and at home. And that is a wonderful place to go to. But there is other, lots of other options. And as a lot of people know, we have the Netanya project that's been offered to people over eight couples over the age of 60. In Netanya, if you're sitting down, then 350 shekels per month rent.
You got to be joking. People spend more than that on coffee in Israel.
I know. So just to show you that the state of Israel is outreaching for Olim from around the world, not only because they're coming to work and pay tax and all that, they would bring them also if they are struggling and they are not in the age that's already in pension age. And it's quite remarkable that outreach that they do, or reaching out to the people that are not going to contribute necessarily to the growth of Israel, but they want them there as well.
Sure. Siva, I'm out of time, so very quickly a last question. If I do want to attend this event, what do I need to do?
Go to our website, to our Facebook page, and there is a link there. Click on the link, but do it urgently, because really we're running out of time. We had a lot of people who registered. Just to let you also know, I don't know if it's been known already, there is a ticket to win for those who register and also like us on Facebook and on Instagram and all that social media thing.
Ziva, toda rabba lach, ba'atzlacha.
Toda rabba. Waiting to see you all on Sunday, please, God. Bye-bye.